The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Chapter 17 and reading from verse 6 through 19 for the introduction. In this reading, the church hears Jesus' words on the night before his death. And this gospel reports the words of Jesus' prayer, a prayer for his disciples and for all who believe in him through their words. Now for the reading. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for this word that you gave to me I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them. And not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these words in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Prayers reveal what is in our heart. Those who believe in God pour out their souls, their hearts, earnest desires, greatest needs, and deepest hopes to God. They believe God hears and answers prayers. They believe prayers make a difference. Let us pray. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, was a man of prayer. He would often go off by himself to quiet, secluded places to commune with the Father. In Matthew 14 and 23, we read of one of those instances. Once when Jesus was observed at prayer by his disciples, they asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray," as John taught his disciples. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, you will read that request of the disciples. And out of that request comes the beautiful prayer that we have, that each time we gather in worship, we are constrained to pray. This deep prayer that has no bottom in its meaning is so great and expansive, the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord prayed not only throughout his life, but at the very end on the cross, while he was hanging there, while he was being nailed to the cross, he prayed to the Father, not for himself, but he prayed for those who were crucifying him so cruelly, nailing his hands and feet to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in Gethsemane, towards that end, the night before the cross, he was in this garden in agony. In the dark night of his soul, he cried out to God, Father, if it be possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. And then, like the obedient son, he says, never mind my will, but thy will be done. In today's gospel reading, in chapter 17, in fact, of John's gospel, we read what is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. In that whole chapter, we see Jesus praying to the Father, praying for himself. And in praying for himself, he says, Father, glorify me. And what was Jesus asking in those words? To glorify him? When Jesus speaks of his glory, it was not something that had to do with the world's understanding of glory, of majesty and pomp and ceremony. No, he was talking about his death on the cross. He was in all willingness to the Father's obedient command. He was obedient to the end. Glorify my name. He was ready for the cross. He prayed not only for himself, but he prayed for those disciples who were there with him. He prayed, Father, keep them safe. He prayed that God would look over those disciples. But Jesus did more than that. He prayed not only for himself, for those disciples who were with him. He prayed for everyone who would be called by his name, everyone who would be confessing him as Lord throughout the ages until the end. He prayed for you and for me and for everyone throughout the ages. I pray not only for these, but for all who have come to know me through their word. So Jesus's prayers covers the whole universe, all human beings throughout all times here. Today's text is one in which Jesus reveals his heart for you and for me, for all his people, for the church. In that prayer, he turns to the Father and he prays, Father, may they be one as you and I are one. In verse 11, we read these words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he prays. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus prays for the unity of the church. And looking at the church from its very inception, from the very beginning in Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, and again in chapter 15, where we had the councils of the church, and throughout the history of the church, in the time of the Reformation, and in the year 1051 thereabouts, throughout the history of the church, and even now, when anyone looks at the church, they would see on the surface that there is everything or anything except unity. We see churches fighting on the basis of styles of worship, churches dissenting against each other on theology, churches according to architecture, uplifting one above the other, and all kinds of things we hear among churches. Churches that would not even recognize another communion as church. We have it even within our own Lutheran community, where there are different synods that do not recognize one another as the true church. And then in the wider church, we have other whole sections of the church will look upon another section and say, because you worship using music, you are not a true church. Or because you don't speak in tongues, you are not a true church. Or because you don't have the history we have, you are not the true church. There is all that. And what does that do for the church of Christ? Nothing but to be a bad witness to the outsiders, to those who would look from outside and in and say, do I want to be a part of that body that cannot even show unison of purpose or beliefs? We can have our differences. As human beings, we will have our differences. And if we understand that our unity stands not in uniformity, but it stands, as Jesus says, as the Father and I are one. That is the nature of the unity he asks for in the church. The one thing that unites us as Christians, the one thing that unites us as church, is that we all confess we believe in God the Father Almighty. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of truth. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. This creed summarizes very beautifully what holds the church together. One, the marks of the church. We believe in one, a unity it speaks of. Holy, lifted up and separated from the world. Catholic, universal, apostolic, meaning that we hold to the belief that was handed down from the apostles right throughout the ages, the true belief as proclaimed by the apostles and handed down to us. That is what is essential to our unity. It is not whether we worship in this style or that style. It is not whether we worship in a cathedral or under a mango tree. It is not whether we use music or not. It is not anything about that. Those are the frills and the froth. The essence and the core of our belief is Jesus Christ as Lord. If we as Christians and church can only lift this one thing up, this one thing that gets jettisoned in all the noise and cacophony of our arguments about styles and frills, if we can hold this one thing up for the world to see, by our confession, by our witness in word and life and ministry and mission, if we can confess that Jesus is Lord and show that, the world will then believe, yeah, what we say and what we confess. Jesus prays for the unity. And when we look around us, it seems that that unity is present more by its absence, you might say. We lament, but we work towards that unity in many ways. We try through ecumenical movement, through crossing over the bridges and the chasms to build bridges so that we can, you know, be together. There are some work going on, and we pray the Holy Spirit will bless those work. Jesus prays not only for the unity of the church, which somehow shows more disunity than unity, but he prays for something else. He prays that for our holiness, for our sanctification. We read in verse 17, Jesus praying these words, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. What is Jesus praying for us when he asks God to sanctify us? What is he asking the Father to do? The word sanctification or sanctify or sanctify really means to make holy. When we do the communion, you would hear me say, we shall now have the sanctus, right? And then we go to sing, holy, holy, holy. So the word sanctus or sanctification means to be made holy. But what does holy mean? Very often people miss the true essence of the word holy because they impose upon it one and only meaning. That is, it has to do with a certain kind of attitude, a certain kind of, well, it's equated with morality, which very often misses the point. Yes, to be holy is to live rightly and to live in a way that pleases God. But the essence of the meaning of the word holy is this. It means to be set apart. To be set apart. And so when we say we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the word holy means that the church is set apart. It is in the world, yes, but it is set apart from the world by God. It is called by God into being on the day of Pentecost. It is brought into existence by God's will and for a purpose, and set apart so that God will send this church right back into the world where it can be His presence and His mission to the world. So we are not set apart for the sake of ourselves, but we are set apart for the sake of the world. And so when Jesus prays that we be sanctified, He is saying, yes, that these are my people, this is the church, set it apart for the work of mission in the world. Any church that fails to connect with the world in its ministry is a church that is disconnected from its true purpose. That is a church called to serve the world. Holiness does not mean that we are so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. It does not mean that we are disconnected from reality and the world in all its madness and meanness and mess. It is precisely there God sent His Son Jesus Christ. It is into this mad world that God came in human form to share our life and to die for the sins of the world. So He does not call us to be apart. He set us apart to send us right back into the world. And so that is the prayer, that the church should be in the world and part of the world in its mission to the world, but not of the world. Now that's the fine distinction we need to make. And every time I preach this, I will say this so that we are reminded. In the world, but not of the world, means that we are in the world, but we do not share the values of the corrupted order of the world. When we say of the world, that word world there means a world that is organized and functions in a way that opposes God and God's will. A couple of weeks ago when I spoke about the understanding of the scripture, the word love, it has different meanings, right? Agape love, phileo love, eros love. The same thing with the word world. When you read the scripture, there's the word world in English. But in the Greek, when you go back, you can hear the word cosmos, which means the created universe. Or it can mean the oikoumene, the world that is occupied by human beings. Right? And there are two other means I can't call to mind right now. But one of the word that is meaning their world is the order of the world, that is the order of the world that is organized in a way that it opposes God's will and opposes God. That world order that denies God and rejects God and opposes God in the way it operates and functions. That is the world we are not part of. But we are in the world to change that kind of world, because that is the world that the devil rules over to oppose God's will. And we are called to enter into battle against that order that organizes itself against God's word. How does that world manifest itself? It manifests itself in things like the hatred that we see in the world. Wars and conflict and violence and suffering and diseases and pain and everything that opposes God's will for us. There is where the church enters in the world to make a difference at every point where the devil seeks to wage battle against God's kingdom. So Jesus says, while I was in the world, I guarded them. But now I'm coming to you, Father. And what he asked God to do? I do not ask you to take them out of the world, Jesus says, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. The danger that faces us is the arrows and the slings of the evil one who will target God's church and God's people, because they are the ones who will fight to push back the dark kingdom he seeks to come and invade God's world with. Jesus prays for our unity, prays that we be sanctified, he prays that we be protected. Yes, he prays for us in all these different ways. And he prays that we be missional church. We hear that, as you sent me, so I send them. And that's exactly after praying about the world and all of that, he sends us right back into the world. That's where we belong. That's where we as church make a difference. That's where we as church become relevant to the world and are able to say to the world that there's a powerful force at work in the world, a force that is called God's army, the church. This prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ is a prayer that sometimes we look at and we wonder what it will do for us, or has it done anything? We believe in prayer. We believe God hears, and we believe God answers prayers. And because Jesus prays for us, we know that God will answer this prayer. And in spite, or despite all the disunity we see manifesting itself and the evils in the world and all that we see in the church, we do not lose hope. We do not become despondent. We do not despair for the church. Because the church is not a human institution. It is God's organism. It is God's living entity put into this world as God's instrument to God's mission to the world. And not even the gates of hell shall prevail against the church. We can be concerned, but never despair. God will protect his church. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his church, and God will watch over his church. God will answer that prayer, and the church will prevail. All we have to do is to stick steadfastly to the faith that we confess Jesus as Lord. Believe and work as he sends us into the world to do. And as we do so, his prayers, God will work in his church and through his church and bring that prayer into fulfillment and reality. The church will see indeed that, yes, we may show, the world will see indeed that we may manifest some elements of disunity and all kinds of things, but yes, we are the church, God's church. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keeps our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ. Amen.